Hear the word of the Lord. Joshua chapter 7.
But the people of Israel broke faith in regard to the devoted things. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, son of Zerah, and the tribe of Judah, took some of the devoted things, and the anger of the Lord burned against the people of Israel. Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth Aven, east of Bethel, and said to them, "Go up and spy out the land." And the men went up and spied out Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, "Do not have all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not make the whole people toil up there, for they are few." So about 3,000 men went up there from the people, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai killed about 36 of their men and chased them before the gate as far as Sherebim and struck them at the descent. The hearts of the people melted and became as water. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening, he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all, to give us into the hands of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would that we had been content to dwell beyond the Jordan. O Lord, what can I say when Israel has turned their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear of it and will surround us and cut off our name from the earth. And what will you do for your great name?" The Lord said to Joshua, "Get up. Why have you fallen on your face? Israel has sinned. They have transgressed my covenant that I commanded them. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen and lied and put them among their own belongings. Therefore, the people of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. They turn their backs before their enemies because they have become devoted for destruction. I will be with you no more unless you destroy the devoted things from among you. Get up, consecrate the people, and say, 'Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow, thus says the Lord God of Israel, there are devoted things in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the devoted things from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought near by your tribes, and the tribe that the Lord takes by lot shall become near by clans, and the clans that the Lord takes shall come near by households, and the household that the Lord takes shall come near man by man, and he who is taken with the devoted things shall be burned with fire, he and all that he has, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has done an outrageous thing in Israel.' So Joshua rose early in the morning and brought Israel near by tribe, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought near the clans of Judah, and the clan of the Zerahites was taken. And he brought near the clan of the Zerahites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought near his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, son of Zabdi, son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. Then Joshua said to Achan, "My son, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and give praise to him and tell me now what you've done. Do not hide it from me." And Achan answered Joshua, "Truly, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And this is what I did. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful cloak from Shinar and 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, then I coveted them and took them. And see, they are hidden in the earth inside my tent, with the silver underneath." So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and behold, it was hidden in his tent with the silver underneath. And they took them out of the tent and brought them to Joshua and to all the people of Israel. And they laid them down before the Lord. Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah and the silver and the cloak and the bar of gold and his sons and daughters, his oxen and donkeys and sheep and his tent and all that he had, and they brought them up to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why did you bring trouble on us? The Lord brings trouble on you today." And all Israel stoned him with stones. They burned them with fire and stoned them with stones. Then they raised over him a great heap of stones that remains to this day. Then the Lord turned from his burning anger. Therefore, to this day, the name of that place is called the Valley of Achor. And thus ends the reading of God's holy word. The grass withers and the flowers of the field fade away, but this is the word of God, and God's word stands forever. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing on his word to our hearts tonight. Heavenly Father, we bow before you tonight with this very serious and sobering passage. And we pray that you would come and visit us. Open our eyes, O Lord, to see wonderful things in your word that we've never seen before. And lead us to Christ. O Lord, help us to believe. Forgive us for our unbelief. And help me, your servant, as I bring forth this passage tonight, that Christ would be the one here, shepherding his flock, that as the word of God is proclaimed, that Christ would be preached, and that you would, O Lord, apply this word to our hearts tonight. We pray with faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, the Bible is not just a list of rules or a list of promises. The Bible is not just a list of commands. The Bible is full of stories and parables and illustrations that are particularly helpful because they make the truth come to life. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that the things that happened in the Old Testament were written for us, for our benefit, like this story from Joshua chapter 7. He says, "These things took place as an example for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. These things happened as warnings to us, upon whom the end of the ages has come." The things that are written for us in the Old Testament are examples for us, to show us exactly what happens when we set our hearts on evil things. And passages in the Old Testament show us exactly what God honors of those who look in faith to him. There's another interpretive lesson that's helpful to remember as we look at passages like this in Joshua chapter 7. And that is where Jesus took the two disciples on the road to Emmaus in Luke chapter 24 and led them through what must have been one of the most amazing Bible studies ever. After the resurrection, he met Cleopas and another disciple, perhaps Cleopas's wife, on the road. And they didn't recognize him. And they were down and discouraged. And he asked them, "Why are you so discouraged?" And they said, "Haven't you heard about all the things that happened in Jerusalem in these days? How Jesus, whom we hoped was Messiah, would be the one to lead Israel. And yet he was arrested and crucified." And so Jesus led them then through a Bible study, the Old Testament, to show them how the Messiah had to suffer. And he showed them from beginning with Moses through the prophets, all the things concerning himself in all of the scriptures. The Lord Jesus Christ is on every page in the Old Testament. Even here, in this very sobering passage of Joshua chapter 7, there is truth illustrated here. And there is grace that is proclaimed to us here from this passage. Tonight I want to show you how Achan, this man that's described in this passage, is a type or model or picture of the sinner, of us. He's a picture of ourselves. He is one who shows us what we're all about. There's an outline on the back of your bulletin if you'd like to follow along as we work through this passage tonight. So how is it that Achan, the villain you might say in this story, how is it that Achan is a type or a picture of a typical sinner? What does Achan show us about ourselves? Well, I'd like to show you four ways, and perhaps you can go home and improve on the sermon and find other ways in which Achan is like us. First of all, how is Achan like a typical sinner? Well, the way that Achan sinned is just like us. It's very typical how he sinned. Look what Achan says as he's brought to task by Joshua about what happened. Look what he says. There's a progression. Joshua says to him, "My son, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and give praise to him and tell me now what you've done. Do not hide it from me." Well, verse 20, he says, "Here's what I did. I sinned against the Lord God of Israel. When I saw the spoil of the beautiful cloak from Shinar, the 200 shekels of gold, the bar of gold or silver, the bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, and then I coveted them and I took them." Do you see the progression there in Achan's sin? I saw the beautiful robe or cloak. I coveted these things and I took them. I saw, I wanted them, I coveted them, and I took them. Every step of the way, Achan was ignoring God's word. He knew it was wrong. How do we know that he knew it was wrong? Oh, what did he do with them? He hid them. And when the announcement was made, he continued to hide it. He knew it was wrong. He rationalized it every step of the way. And he buried it because he didn't want others to know about it. You know, this progression of sin is typical. To see something, to covet it, and to take it. And often to hide it. He saw it. It's just like Eve in the garden, Adam and Eve. They saw the forbidden fruit. They wanted it, what it represented, and they took it. Right? It's just like David, as he was on that household, on his rooftop. He saw Bathsheba. He coveted her. He wanted her. And though she was another man's wife, he took her. Took her for his own. It's just like Ananias and Sapphira. Right? They're the ones that sold the property and then lied about it. They saw how Barnabas was so loved and welcomed by everyone for all his wonderful generosity. They coveted the popularity, I think, of Barnabas. And so they took that popularity for themselves and pretended to give a generous gift. When they kept back, they lied to the Holy Spirit. They lied to the apostles about it. But it all began with what they saw. Achan saw these banned items from the city of Jericho. They were not to be taken. They were to be devoted to the Lord. He took what was not his. Because he first saw it, he set his heart on it, and then he took it for himself. Remember that children's song? Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. For your Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. There's something about our eyes and what we set them on that has a direct impact on our heart. You know, you can not see something that belongs to you, that it's totally out of mind. You could be, have not seen it for decades. It could be just hidden in your attic somewhere. And when you see it, it's like, oh, I have to have this back in my life. What is it about the eyes that are the passage to the heart? The way Achan sinned, how he sinned, is just like us. There's a wonderful book by Thomas Brooks, who's a pastor back in the 1600s in England, called Precious Remedies Against Satan's Devices. And the very first device that he talks about, and the remedy for it, is how Satan will present the golden cup before you of temptation, but he hides the poison that's inside it. He presents the bait of sin, but he hides the hook that's inside. Very beautiful illustrations that Thomas Brooks makes about how we are led into sin. It's exactly what happened to Achan. He saw this golden cup of all these banned items that he wanted, and he set his heart on them and took them for himself. So Achan is first like a typical sinner in the way that he sinned or how he sinned is just like us. We see things we want, we covet them, and then we take them for ourselves. Secondly, how is Achan like a type or model of sin? In that he represents what happens with the effects of sin. The effects of sin. Achan's sin caused great calamity to others. Right? There was sin in the camp, and the whole camp was affected. All were affected. God would not bless them. Probably more who knew about Achan's sin than just Achan and his family. The effects of sin often bring great trouble upon people's loved ones. You've probably seen that in families that have become turned upside down by sin. Sin brings trouble. It brings trouble on your loved ones. God's way is always the best way. We're blinded to that. Achan sinned, and his family suffered, and all of Israel suffered. We see that all the time in ministry in the jail, people who are caught in some kind of sin, and then the whole family is affected because this person has been arrested, and they're thrown into jail, and their family can't pay the rent now, or there's other troubles at home because of the effects of the one sin. Achan's sin is a picture of the typical sinner in that it brings great calamity to others. Thirdly, how is Achan's sin a picture of the typical sinner? Well, Achan's sin was worthy of death. It was worthy of death. What God shows us here with the sin of Achan is his view of sin. Sin is rebellion against God. It's treason. It's evil. It's wicked. It breaks the covenant. It breaks fellowship with God. It declares that we want to be the ones who call the shots rather than God. Verse 12, the Lord says here in chapter 7, I will be with you no more unless the devoted things are destroyed. It shows us God's ways are not our ways. God says the wages of sin is death. Sin is serious. But what's our view about sin? Oh, it's just a little white lie. Right? Oh, don't get so uptight about it. What are you, some kind of prude or something? We entertain ourselves with sin. And we certainly don't see it as worthy of judgment. This is a picture of how God views sin. Fourthly, how is Achan a picture of a sinner? Well, he refused to acknowledge his sin, just like we do. Right? He refused. On the way to his tent with the devoted things hidden under something, he refused to acknowledge it. As he buried it. What was he thinking? How was he rationalizing this? He refused to acknowledge it. When he hears news of Israel's defeat, as they melted in fear, he refused to acknowledge it. As Joshua and the elders prayed, as the people were consecrated, there's a warning given out to everybody. Through the night, he could have come forward. He refused. In the morning, he refused. As the lot is cast and things come closer and closer, he still refuses. It's not until he stands before the judgment seat that he admitted it. He stands before the judgment seat of Joshua, a type of Christ, that he finally admits it. It's true. It's true. But it was too late. As it will be with many who wait until the very last moment. But it'll be too late. Well, where is the grace of God in this passage? At first read, this passage is so heavy, isn't it? For our 20th century ears, this is really heavy for us and hard to read. But the whole story is a gracious warning. This is God's view of sin, and we are all Achans. We see things that we want, we plan for it, we take it, and we hide it. You see, this whole passage shows us how desperately we need a Savior. We need someone to rescue us. And Jesus Christ is the one who stands and takes the judgment upon himself on the cross. He stands condemned in our place. We're just as guilty as Achan for every one of our sins. We're all Achans. But the Bible says at just the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Somebody must pay for sin. It's either us or a substitute. Sin is an offense to God. There's no fellowship with God when there's sin. It must be punished to maintain God's judgment. That's why Christ died on the cross. The Bible says, he who knew no sin took sin upon himself. He became sin. By his stripes we are healed, Isaiah says. That is, by the stripes of judgment. He reconciled us to God through the cross. Through the one act of righteousness, he brought peace or justification for the many. In my place, condemned, he stood. This whole story is a picture of God's response to sin, his view of sin, and our need for a Savior. I ask you tonight, do you realize, or do you believe that you are as guilty as Achan? Do you believe that you deserve God's judgment? Do you believe that you need a Savior? Every time we come to the Lord's table, every time we have the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, the bread and the cup are to remind us of the Lord's death. That Christ died. His broken body and his shed blood was where he received the judgment we deserved. His sacrifice is to be remembered again and again, that there was a substitute in our place. We're to remember that until he comes again. This whole story shows us how our only hope is in Christ. That our worth is not found in ourselves, because we're as guilty as Achan. Our worth is found in Christ alone. You know, our revulsion to this kind of story, as we read this, very uncomfortable for our 21st century ears, our reaction to this whole judgment scene is actually very important to process. Because it uncovers for us our view of sin, our light view of sin. We become so enamored by the culture and its light view of sin. This whole scene is very important for us to process because it uncovers for us God's view of sin. It reveals for us the seriousness of rebellion against God. You see, what happens in these Old Testament scenes where judgment is meted out, it's like a little ladle of the final judgment day comes down and is poured out. This is what is coming. This is why we need a Savior. It jolts us from our complacency. It reveals to us why it is that Jesus came. He came into the world to save sinners. Paul says, of whom I am the worst. Jesus Christ came into the world to save Achans. Just like us, who see something, we're enamored with it, we covet it, and we go for it. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. It reveals the greatness of God's love for us in Christ. It wasn't just for one man that Jesus died. He died for multitudes of those who would look in faith to Christ. It reveals for us, this passage does, what we've been spared. This is what we deserve. And it reveals what Jesus took upon himself. Millions down through the ages who've looked to him. This whole passage reveals to us the indescribable gift of Christ, who gave his life for sinners like us on a cross. Where's the gospel in this? This whole passage points us to the love of God in Christ. I call you tonight, as we consider the seriousness of these things, to cry out to the Lord. Oh Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner just like Achan. Praise be to God for the indescribable gift of his Son. Let us pray.